The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Hump Day Hotline brought to you by Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. I am one of the hosts of this show, sitting alongside my partner and friend, Jay Spence, the King. Spence, my man, how are you feeling? It's Hump Day, Victory Wednesday.
It is Victory Wednesday. It is Hump Day, and I feel like humping something. Let's hump it out.
Well, hump the like. Just hump the like.
Hump the like. We gonna hump it. We gonna hump everything, man. I'm ready to hump. Let's hump it up.
All right, show over.
Show over. No more PG-13. No.
This show is not for kids. Officially, this one is not for kids. If you get the kids out of the room, that's hysterical. It is so good to have you here alongside me. We've had a pretty good run. Like we've done a bunch of these shows together. Like whoa. in my travel.
Whoa. What do you mean pretty good run? Like we've had. Don't be talking. What do you mean?
I mean, like we've been together the last couple weeks in a row. Like
it's I got you. You were saying something different. I thought you was retiring or something. Like, what are you doing? Whoa. Like, no.
I'm not retiring. At least not
in I'm not asking. I'm saying no.
What I should do is like I should change my name to I quit. And then, like, you can go live and my seat will just be empty. Or John's show. Like, it'll just say, I quit. Or both shows that week. Like, any overreaction show, just say, I quit with an empty chair. So
the day that I walk away is going to be the most dramatic post of all time. Like, it's going to be the most dramatic, sad post of all time. I promise.
You're going Antonio Brown, pulling your shirt off.
I'm going all of it, man. I'm like, the saddest way out that you can imagine. That's how I'm going to do it.
Oh, no. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the show. So everybody be waiting for that someday. We have no idea when either of those are going to happen, but someday that day will come, I am sure. It's so good to have every one of you. Thank you to everybody that is joining us live. Thank you to everybody that's going to download this and consume this in podcast form and whatever platform you are consuming this podcast, vidcast on. Please, as we like to say on Hump Day, hump that like. So jump on that like button. We have currently zero thumbs up on YouTube. So want to change that immediately because it helps our metrics. And then we're going to take just a second and hear from our show sponsor, Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care by John Fina.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision keeps pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at ficta.com. At Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
just something about the way that he says aspirations.
And hey, you know what? Shout out to Ficta Endo and Elmer Eye Care. They're actually, first of all, they've been amazing all season. They're great people.
Yes.
They do a great job. But I do want to shout them out as well. So Buffalo Rumblings. For the first, I believe this is the first time. I'm about to find out for sure because I think Matt is going to tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to claim it already. For the first time, Buffalo Rumblings is going to be represented in February at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas and is sponsored by Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care and Picasso Pizza. It's wow. going down. Y'all going to see me in February. I'll be out there with my man Stevie Johnson. And if you're going to be out there for the Super Bowl, it's a Friday. It's a Friday event. So if you're going to be out there for the week, come by to the I don't want to call it a party because it's not a party. It's an event. It's a bunch of things going on. Mm-hmm. If you get there and you pull up your phone and you show them that you're following Buffalo Rumblings, Jay Spence the King, or Sarah Larson, you're going to get them for free. Mm. You get them for free. You just got to follow us. Buffalo Rumblings, Jay Spence, or Sarah, follow us, you get in. It's wow. going down.
Wow. Well, I follow you both.
Come on.
I follow all three of you. Buffalo Rumblings,
let's get it.
Sarah, and you. So what do I?
And Stevie, you got four.
I follow Stevie as well. I got pictures of me and Stevie together. So yes,
let's get it.
That's awesome. Well, that's actually freaking fantastic. He hasn't corrected you yet, so you might be on point with that one.
I think I'm on point. I think it's the first time that Buffalo Rumblings has been represented in the Super Bowl. I hope that the Bills are represented soon, so that way Buffalo in general is represented in the Super Bowl.
Well, you've opened the can. Now you need to let us look inside the can. So what's inside the can? Like what's the event?
Well, Stevie Johnson announced a few weeks back that he's doing an event for Super Bowl week, and it's part of, you know, a lot of the things that he does with young people when he trains wide receivers and stuff in high school. So it's a lot to do with that. And then he has a couple other good organizations that's trying to put some things together. So come on out, network, meet some people. You're going to see a few professional former Bills players there. You're going to see, I mean, if the Bills don't make it to the Super Bowl, I'm sure a couple current guys will be there as well. We're hoping that they make it to the game.
Well, that is awesome news. Also, for everybody that's tuning in right now, please, we've never done this before, so I'm going to do it tonight for the first time. Please stay tuned for directly after this show at 9 o'clock p.m. for Line the Game with Jerry and Sarah. So, because normally I get like caught up in the end and then I forget. And you're like, wait. So,
well, no, that's why I was laughing, because it's like normally we don't remind you, and now we're doing
at the beginning. I'm reminding you at the beginning. So if you got to like walk away and you close the show, come back at 9 for Jerry and Sarah. Also, if you did not catch it, the Off Tech with John Fina show, Jerry and John interviewed Greg Cosell. And that was a tremendously great interview. Probably I don't know where it is, one or two. To me, the best football conversation that we've had on YouTube this year was you, Eric Wood, Jerry and John, and this one to me is right up there with that one. So must-see television coming from Buffalo Rumblings, which is fantastic. So super good to talk to you and talk to everybody. We get to rap a little bit about this this Chiefs game. So my guy, I'm gonna let you go first. So looking back on this Buffalo Bills win over the Kansas City Chiefs, which we have done in regular season 2 years now, 3 years in a row. So it's not like it should be the wildest of surprises. But looking back on it at this point in time, and I'll go after you, what sticks out to you the most from that 3 days later?
The most. That's okay.
Like all the dust is settled. The Kadarius Toney stuff is over. Like, even Mahomes has come out and been like, well, maybe he was offsides, right? I mean, like, so everything's settled down. So it's like, hey, man, this part happened. Right.
I think the biggest thing that I take away from that game, and I know it's just one game, but if I look at the season in a whole as well, I think me walking away from that game, I'm going to say I was so wrong about Ed Oliver and I was so wrong about AJ Epenesa.
Me too.
So, you know, like there was a lot of good things. There was a lot of good things about the game that I can talk about. There were a few bad things. Mm-hmm. But I was so wrong about AJ Epenesa and I was so wrong about Ed Oliver. Like, they played incredibly. We're going to miss him if AJ Epenesa can't play this week, and we're going to miss him. Like, the dude is a beast.
Yeah, for sure. That's a well said. I mean, I was in the offseason when I was doing shows around the draft, around just free agency and whatnot. I was one of the ones. And when they gave him the extension, I was like, what are we doing? Like, 14 million, what are we doing here? And then he made the statement. The quote was, I'm going to outplay that contract before it's even up. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
and he proved me right.
All right.
he proved himself right. And because you remember when we did the show, I'm like, no, nah, man, get this guy has to go. Cut him. I don't even know why we.
right?
Look, I was wrong. I am man enough to admit when I'm wrong, and I'm man enough to apologize. So both of you gentlemen, Ed Oliver and AJ Epinesa, what is his name? What is the A and the J stand for? Or is it AJ?
I'm sure it's Andrew Justin or something. That's my brother's name, Andrew Justin.
Well, Andrew Justin Epinesa, if that's your name.
I'm sure
I apologize. Yeah, I'm sure. It's going to be in the comments any section, any moment now. But,
yeah, you're right.
But no, I appreciate you guys, and I apologize. I was wrong.
Yeah, what's interesting to me just about that situation is the fact that you've got two guys that can tell the truth and one guy that never does. So Von Miller never tells the truth. And then you've got Ed Oliver who said that I'm going to outplay my...
I'm sorry. It's Andrew Jarrett, man. You were so You were so close. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
That's great. That's freaking awesome.
That's crazy.
I never win. I feel like I just won the lottery. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So you got Von Miller, who can never tell the truth. And then you've got Ed Oliver, who said, I'm going to outplay my contract, and did. And you've got Isaiah McKenzie, who said, I'm only worth candy. And he was right.
It's a lot of truth in Buffalo, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of truth up in here.
And somebody sent me a message today, was like, are you voting? Literally, like, randomly was like, are you voting for Isaiah McKenzie for the Pro Bowl? And I'm like, I think you have the wrong number, my guy. Like, I think that's your problem.
new phone, who dis? Right. For me, coming off of that, you know, we've seen four games this year where the defense couldn't hold, and it was actually five different drives or five different moments this year where it happened. And the thing that stuck out to me, like in that game, like what has settled with me is that defense held, and they proved a point. And I said on the show on Sunday, you know, this is a game that I feel like they can win. They can learn to win from. And I go back to it. I've told the story several times to different people just in my life. And I think I said it as well on the show. The Bills make the stop, the ball falls incomplete, on 4th and 15, the Bills defensive backfield are almost like, Hey, yep. Right. Like they were almost like surprised too as they ran up the field. And then McKenna literally turns to me. What does this mean? Did we win? And I was like, there's still 56 seconds left. I don't know, right? So I think for me, there's an aspect of like maybe this team is finding Sean McDermott's complimentary football conversation, right? So when the defense needs to be picked up, the offense does it. When the offense needs to be picked up, the defense does it, because that kind of happened in this game. The offense came out hot in the first half, and then go ahead.
Wait, can I be honest?
You can be honest, always. Well, don't Von Miller me.
Well, no, I definitely don't want to Von Miller you, but you said the defense picked the... I'm sorry, that was a low blow. Forgive me, guys. Forgive
me. Well, I lobbed it right out there, and you hit a home run.
You did. I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have did that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. But you say the defense picked the offense up here, which is technically correct. However, can we just talk about if Tony didn't line up offsides, how the Bills would have lost. Not lost, maybe, because we still had time on the clock. But yeah. I'm still, like, I just feel like a lot of times now when things happen in a game, like, get it, what happened.
We
won the game.
Yeah.
So we're happy. Let's be happy. However, like, you have to understand that was a player error, and it was a referee's call that changed what happened.
Yeah.
If that call did not happen, if the referee didn't say, hey, he's over the line, he's been over the line all game, let me throw it. If he didn't throw it, the Buffalo Bills would have been down by some points at that time. And then we had time, and we had timeouts. Yep. So Josh could have figured it out. But my point is, it's yet another example of Sean McDermott's defense in the fourth quarter when the game is on the line, not being able to make the player hold. Now, after that play was called back, we caught our second win. We got some energy. It's like, all right, incomplete. Cool.
Yep.
But that play, and it's too many times where, like, it's in the fourth quarter, the other team gets the ball late, and they got to go down the drive to score. And our defense, all game, first three quarters, three and a half quarters, we look great. That last 5 minutes, I don't even want to say 2 minutes. The last 5 minutes, I don't know what
it's more than five. It's more, the Eagles, they scored 30 points. They put 30
on us. The whole quarter.
They put 30
quarter, man. So it's like, you know, I want to praise these guys for the game. Like, they're doing great first half, third quarter. And, you know, some of these guys I consider friends now. Mm-hmm. I love to hype them. Mm-hmm. I can't hype them when that happens, man. Like, I can't. And then I got one more thing, and then I'll let you go. I'll shut up. Matter of fact, I pour some Crown here. I'm gonna take a shot. Listen, you know how much I love my safeties on the Buffalo Bills roster.
Oh yeah.
is it time for Micah Hyde to really start thinking about the possibility of retirement, because now it's starting to look like he's injury prone?
I don't think he plays after this year. If he makes it through the year, I think he's done at the end of this year. I think he's hanging on right now just to make kind of a run. And if there's somebody in the locker room that is like, win one for the Gipper, it's probably Micah, right? For what he means to this team. I think everybody knows that this is probably it for Micah. His contract is up. There's no way he's going someplace else to play. And yeah, every time he takes a hit from somebody not leading with his helmet, that's illegal, but head down, right? He ends up on the ground. And the last one on Sunday was scary. He's like, people thought it was his wrist. Like, I saw one person tweet that, like, oh, I think he broke his wrist because the way that he was writhing in pain. And then it's like, oh, no, another neck stinger. And it's like, well, that's not great. There was something else I was going to say, but I don't remember. So we'll just move on. So,
well, no, wait, don't move on, because I called in and I ranted like a WGR caller, and I talked about how the defense still gives up on the
You called WGR?
I'm calling UGR right now, is what I'm saying. Okay. So now I'm saying I'm going to call up, I'm going to hang up. Thanks for taking my call. I'll listen. I need a response for that part. And matter of fact, I'm going to make it like you're really on a call here, because I want you to really respond to that.
Okay. Well, do we need to start looking for two new safeties? That was the question.
No, the question was about the fourth quarter and the Buffalo Bills giving up big drives at the end of the game to like, I know we just said the defense picks up the offense.
Yeah.
But that's not what's been happening.
Yeah.
I'll
hang up and listen. First time caller, long time listener. So the reality is that is, he left. That is, you should have spotlighted me, but no, don't do that either. The reality is that is, stop it. That is what is happening or has happened. The issue at hand is the fact that you can't win this argument. So there's two sides to the argument, and which is Josh Allen is doing enough to win football games. And then the other side of that argument is, yeah, but the defense is like wounded, right? And Josh Allen threw an interception. So there's nobody that you're going to be able to, you're never going to get all of the fan base, in my opinion, to admit or at least agree upon the fact that the defense has very much been letting up. Somewhere in the third quarter. Could you get the spotlight off me, please? Somewhere in the third quarter. He's still loud, you dork. Somewhere in the third quarter to the fourth quarter, the defense is absolutely changing their style of play. I don't care what anybody says. The reality is if you watch, and I said this on the Overreaction Show, at a first glance, this is what I saw. In the first half of that game, they were suffocating the wide receivers, making every catch contested. They were dropping a lot of passes. They were making it very difficult. In the third quarter, they started playing 8 yards off, 9 yards off, first two steps backwards, and they started catching balls all over the football field. Then, this was the difference this week. Then, when it got to a three-point game and tied, the defense went back to being aggressive. And I don't know that we've ever seen that before. I don't know that we've ever seen the Bills defense go back to being aggressive, and they got aggressive. And McDermott was asked about it at the end of the game, and he said, I wanted to be aggressive. I wanted to stay aggressive, I think is what he said. And the reality is they were not aggressive for about a quarter and a half of that football game. They were just like, oh, we're up by 10 or up by 14. Let's just run the clock out and win this game. And it didn't work at all. So
I agree.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. Caller, you're right.
All right, we got a super chat. Shout out to Carl. He's going to call me out. Carl is calling me out. He said the offense needs to stay on the field. They need to stay on the damn field. They came out in the second half and went 3 and out like 3 times in a row. That would tire out a defense. It was more than that. Now, here's my argument to that. First of all, thank you for the super chat. Thanks for joining us tonight, man. I appreciate that. Here's my argument about that. When you say that the offense needs to stay on the field, there's 60 minutes in a football game, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's go back like 3 weeks. Against the Jets, the Bills won the time of possession 36 minutes, really 37 minutes to 23.
I need an organ.
I'm about to preach.
You're about to preach.
I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I'm here with it. Then you go last week to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Buffalo Bills won the time of possession 40-20, literally 40-20 and lost. And then last week, now this game here against the Chiefs, 35-25 against the Chiefs. Come on, man. I'm not. I agree with you, Carl. I get your point.
I get the sympathizers. I get the fact that people want the offense to be on the field for 50 minutes because the defense is injured and like they've lost three really good players. But Rasul Douglas is a number one cornerback, right? And Terrell Bernard caused a fumble in that football game. Like they've got the horses. Daquan is out, But Lenville Joseph and like those guys are doing their job. The only guy that's not on the defensive line doing his job, two guys, Tip Settle and Von Miller. Everybody else is showing up to play football. So
that's
it. Well, in my opinion, on the defensive line, yes, that's it.
Phillips needs to do more.
I'm not saying, yeah, he's at least showing up, right, on the stat line. The other two guys, I mean, Tim Settle has not played great, and Von Miller at least, I think, got on the stat line finally. So,
I think he had a tackle. It was a combined tackle. It was like an assist, right?
Yeah, yes, it was. Yeah, I think it was an assist on a sack, possibly, or just a tackle. I can't remember, but let's transition. Yeah, but
Jordan Phillips, we got to be more honest. Not you. We got to be more honest about him, Tim Settle. I love Shaq Lawson. He's a dog. They need to give him more opportunities to show that he's a dog. If not, then they need to figure it out. Because right now, we got too much money invested in that defensive line. Now, I'm not saying it's like the defensive line ain't been hooping.
5 years.
Right. Now, this year, they hooping. I don't want to make it seem like I'm complaining about that. I'm talking about specifically where the big dollars are going. Mm. We're not getting production out of the big dollars outside of Ed Oliver. And that's a problem for me.
That's 100% a problem. So transitioning now, putting the Chiefs game to bed and moving on to the Cowboys game this week on Sunday, which I will be at. We always like to start with the injury report. And this year, the only two real players of note we've already kind of talked about, AJ Epenesa, as well as Micah Hyde, both considered week to week, neither practice. And Sean McDermott was very much non-committal as it pertained to both of those guys. In his pressers today, AJ with the rib got injured literally on the play that he made the interception on. And then Micah, as we talked about, with the next stinger. So I guess considering that, you know, those are major concerns, in my opinion, defensively for the Buffalo Bills, missing both of those guys. They're guys that show up on the stat sheet. I like Taylor Rapp. I like who the Bills have in the defensive backfield. There's something about, since last year, AJ Epenesa has the ability to reach his hand out and swat balls. Like, it's just something that's, it's almost like that part of the game is slowed down for him. Not Christian Wilkins type of, never mind.
Okay. We're tripping tonight. I'm on Vine. Pause. You on him. We got to relax.
So, man. If you've ever played sports, and I know you have, there's certain things when you kind of get it. Like that play or that whatever that you're watching kind of slows down for you. I remember, and I've talked about this on some show somewhere. It's like, I remember in varsity baseball when we were taught how to hit curveballs. So the balls are coming in high school. I mean, they're not slow pitches. I mean, the high school kids, I mean, I played against Mike Hampton. He played for Crystal River. I played for Lecanto. We were rival schools. So Mike Hampton is a former Major League Baseball pitcher. Like, these guys could throw super balls, Joe. These guys could throw the baseball. And I remember at batting practice, coach saying, what you want to do is you want to catch the spin of the ball, right? So you want to see the ball spinning sideways or like tumbling, and then wait. And when it breaks, swing and foul it off. And all of us were like, you want us to wait? Because in baseball, fast pitch baseball, you're starting your stride before the pitcher releases the ball. So it's like, now you want me to wait? Like, what? And then once you get it, it's like, oh, this totally makes sense. And you can wait. You see the spin of the ball, you wait and you foul it off. It's like, oh, this is no problem. That's kind of where AJ Epenesa is. It's like, I think he just sees the ball coming out of the quarterback's hand and it's like, oh, boink, I can knock that right out of the air. Like, and he does.
I think that's a great analogy. Honestly, I think that's one of the best that you've done on hump day since we've started the show. Honestly,
well, I quit. I'm out.
You gotta relax, okay? You know that meme, the what is it, the Will Ferrell meme? Like, you need to relax. That's you right now. Relax.
I think this whole show's off the rails. Anyways, so what I want to ask, or what I want to talk about, I'll go first on this one. The Cowboys seem to be putting it all together for the first time maybe in decades, right? So you're talking about a football team that's had good offenses, had good defenses, had good offenses and defenses, get to the playoffs, can't come out of the first round. I mean, we all know the picture of Tony Romo sitting on the football field after he botched the snap, right? As far as on the it was either field goal or an extra point to win the game. You know, they're scary on offense right now. They're scary on defense right now. And the question is, you know, which one has you more concerned? And for me, and this might sound strange, the defense literally has me more concerned than the offense. And this is the reason that I would give you. The Buffalo Bills seem to do a very good job shutting down good wide receivers and good quarterbacks. Like, this isn't like every week for years, we get nervous about, oh my gosh, we're facing this guy. Oh my gosh, we're facing that guy. And then, you know, we play somebody, and I'm trying to think of who it was. Tyreek Hill had what, four catches for 42 yards. Like, and like the Bills do a good job, like McDermott and whoever, and Leslie Frazier before, has the ability to scheme this defense to put them in a situation that the opposing offense in a position where they're not going to destroy us or crush us. I'm not saying that we've not been blown out, but defensively speaking for the Cowboys, I mean, when you look at, you know, who they have on defense, what they're doing on defense, I'm sad and glad that Stephon's brother's not playing. I'd love to have seen them kind of head to head. They probably would love to be going head to head too, but here we are. He's not playing. But that defense definitely has me more concerned, especially when I think of the way that the Bills offensive line played this past weekend. They struggled. They were on the struggle bus against Chris Jones. They were big time on the struggle bus. I said on my show on Sunday, I don't know who in the world was like, yeah, Connor McDermott, you block Chris Jones one-on-one. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't like that was the plan. That was the blocking scheme. Mitch called the blocking scheme and Connor McDermott standing there like, okay, I got you. One on one. Do you remember that play? He was like going backwards, like hopping on one foot, getting pushed back into Josh Allen. It's like, what is happening? So for me,
like this is, yeah,
for me, it's the defense. That's where my biggest concern is.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I will agree. Well, no, I won't agree. I'm going to agree halfway. I'm going to say the team overall, so I'm going to go 50-50. I'm not going to include the special teams, even though I probably should, but I'm going to go offense and defense together. Oh. I think, first of all, when we talk about this, man, like I get what you're saying. We shut down Tariq Hill, and, you know, outside of the playoffs, Tariq
Jamar
Hill has
Chase,
not had a good...
Jamar well, Chase? I mean, we...
True.
Yeah.
True. Jamar ain't went off on us yet.
Yeah.
Tariq Hill went off on us twice in the playoffs, like games that mattered.
It didn't hurt us.
During his, no, he went off in the playoffs. Like, he's the reason we lost.
We won in the playoffs. Oh, Chiefs
seconds.
Game.
You don't remember
game.
The
sorry.
I'm yeah, like he had 150 yards in one game, 172 in the other.
Yeah, so, 70 was on one play. I was there, but yes.
I mean, he killed us. You're right, but yeah. I agree with you what you're saying as far as how the Buffalo Bills, like, we go into these games week after week, and we're like, wait, we're going against Davante Adams. We played against the Raiders. He had a good first drive, and then after that, he was like non-existent.
Right.
So. I'm with you when it comes to like not really thinking about the offense. However, I think this Cowboys offense is different than anybody. And I know Miami went off for 70 against the Broncos. And I know, look, Dallas is different. Like, Brandon Cooks is technically, he's what Josh Allen thought Gabe Davis was as a wide receiver 1B.
Agreed.
Like, Brandon is nice, right? Then you got CeeDee Lamb, who's... I put them in the same conversations when you talk about the Stephon Diggs of the league and you talk about Davante Adams. Now, he's not the best out of that group, but he's in that class to me. And then you talk about Tony Pollard. The Buffalo Bills still, now, we've been doing better against the run. I think we haven't given up as much, but Tony Pollard is probably the best back that we've faced in a couple weeks now. Like, you know, like it's going to be different. So I'm just a little concerned when it comes to that offense, man. I think if it's going to be a shootout, it's going to be a shootout. And if that's the case, then I need Josh Allen to do what he's been doing these last 3 weeks. But I need him to also, like, just add another layer of, like, I don't even know. But their secondary, they're so hungry. Like, they're thirsty for turnovers. So the thing is, they jump at everything. So my concern with the defense is that Josh Allen, he sees it and he's like, oh, I can hit it. Boom. I need Josh Allen to be a little bit more You know, just think about.
You need to be them in the corner, Joe Brady and Josh, giggling over the fact that Josh is going to like do pump fakes the whole game.
And that's what I'm saying.
And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
But I need that because if you pump fake, first of all, like they go for every interception.
Yep.
Not just some of them.
Give him a shoulder fake.
Every interception. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a Steph Curry shimmy one time. Right. Like just do it and then throw it somewhere else. And then, yo, and so Daryl in the comments says, Josh got to go for 400. And I'm going to tell you what, if he figures out the timing of how these guys, and I'm sure they've watched film, if he figures out how to get the guys to like jump a little bit and he gets some separation with his receiver, yo, Josh can go for it. Like Josh can have a career day, and he's had several.
Yeah.
He could have like the best offensive game of his career, but it has to be if you pay attention to how aggressive this team is. Like it's incredible how good they are on both sides of the ball, but their weakness is that they're so good, if that makes sense. That probably sums
it up. So Trayvon Diggs being out of the game obviously helps. Stephon Gilmore, like I hate the fact that he has been as good as he has. I don't know who's the other corner that has the record, the pick six record. If I'm not mistaken, he is like one of the worst rated cover corners in the league because he's so aggressive that he's trying to get turnovers. He's trying to catch footballs.
But I tell you what, that's the Dallas Cowboys. Because even if you go now, I know Steph is a Bills player. So if he hears this and if somebody lets him hear me talking about his brother, he's going to get mad, whatever. His brother's the same type of liability.
A little bit.
His brother goes for every now he'll intercept the ball every time you throw it. If you give him the chance, but he'll also give it. Yeah. Sarah put in the comments that Bland. Yeah. Bland's the guy that got the record, but Diggs' brother, when he was in, man, like if you get the guy to jump and then you, every time he's giving up a big play. Yeah. So it's like the Cowboys fans, and I got a lot of friends, unfortunately, who are Cowboys fans, and they all say, like, you know, yo, it's great when we get the turnover. It's great when we get the pick six, but we give up more big plays that way.
Yep.
Luckily for them, they have an offense that can really kill it. Man, I'm hoping that we can do the offense the way we did the Dolphins.
Yeah.
My man Carl says, are you going?
I was just saying, Carl Tomlin just wants a follow up to a super chat, which is, do you think that Joe? I brought this up for a reason because it was actually a topic that I didn't put up. Do you think that Joe Brady will be able to make adjustments to counter Dan Quinn's halftime adjustments? Mm-hmm. Joe did not do that well against the Chiefs. Stay efficient, and that's a really good point. We've seen two very good games from Joe Brady, another half from Joe Brady, and then the second half of the Chiefs game after Josh Allen threw that interception, the Bills were not efficient. They could not really move the ball or do anything necessary. Now we don't know again if they decided to get a little more conservative. We don't know necessarily what it was, but there were adjustments that the Chiefs made, and Joe, for whatever reason, they could not get people open. They could not. I mean, they were slugging down the field. It just wasn't great. So it's definitely a concern. Dan Quinn is not a schlep when it comes to defensive coordinators. So, right.
I will agree with that. And I'll say that you're right. And that Carl is right. Thanks again for the comment, Carl. But I think for me, when I look at it, it's like sometimes, yes, it's about Joe Brady. Yes, it's about Josh and the Bills. But then also, we got to give those guys credit. Like, the Chiefs have one of the best defenses in the league this year.
This year, yeah.
And so, like, the first half happened a certain way that made us a little more confident than we probably should have been. Like, we scored 14 unanswered points, and then they scored. You know, it's like, you got to realize, like, this year, the strength of the Chiefs team is the defense, not the offense. Like,
right.
You know, I understand that it's Patrick Mahomes, and every year he does what he does, and he has a pat moment. It's the defense this year. And then when he has a pat moment, that's how they win late in games because the defense will keep it low. Good. They'll keep them in the game. And then that's when Pat Mahomes does what he does. You know, I just think Sunday, because of the offsides call that would have had 12 men on the field for the Bills if they caught it a different way, I think that, you know, we just kind of got lucky this week. I honestly think we got lucky. I don't think we beat the Chiefs. I think we got lucky.
I agree. I'm only going to throw this out to you. Is Dak the NFL MVP?
Dak?
Yeah. Do you think he has a shot to be the NFL MVP?
He has a shot because of their record. But for me, if I'm calling anybody MVP that's not Josh Allen, it's going to be Tariq Hill.
I'm in the same boat.
I hate saying that because Tariq Hill is obviously, we talked about Vine. We talked about all these guys. I hate his off-field history. You got to call a spade a spade and give props where it's due. Tariq Hill is the most valuable player of the Miami Dolphins team. If he's not on that team, they look exactly the way they looked when they had Brian Flores. They look exactly how they look. Like, it, I don't care about all the Coach Shanahan talk, all the disciples of Coach Shanahan. When they go to a different team, then they Tariq Hill.
I'm in the same boat. Last topic. If the Buffalo Bills win this weekend, their next opponents are New England, the Chargers, not necessarily in that order, and then the Dolphins. What are their chances of winning out, in your opinion? For me, if the Bills win this weekend, I think we win out. Period. End of story.
Really?
Yes. There's no way we're losing to the Chargers. There's no way we're losing to the Patriots. And then the season's going to come down to the Bills-Dolphins in Miami. At the end of the day, even in the game we lost, even in both games in Josh's career that we lost, the amount of yards the offense put up, the amount of damage that Josh did in both of those games, like, they could have very easily gone. I mean, we're a Charles Clay drop in the end zone away from that win, and then we're, you know, a botched snap twice from Van Roten from that other win, along with four other mistakes. But to me, I think the Bills went out, and there's a high probability, specifically coming off of the Titans win over the Dolphins, that last game of the season is potentially for the AFC East championship. How poetic. What an amazing some people write books about the season if that happens.
I mean, the Dolphins better hope they don't do what the Dolphins do in December and
lose five in a row
everywhere, because they got a big game this weekend.
Yep.
They got another big game next weekend, and then they got us week 18. So,
dude, I don't mean to stop you. So,
no,
remember the question. Literally, I'm watching that football game because I'm invested, right? I need to know what's happening. The Titans in that game looked good through nine-tenths of a football game. They muffed that punt. Derrick Henry fumbles that football, and I'm like, I literally grabbed the remote control and just went, turned it straight off. I was like, that's it. I'm going to bed. I woke up the next morning to a text message from Mike Kingsley, who's in the comment section often. And he's like, can you believe this game? And I was like, what happened? Like, they lost in Bills fashion, in my opinion, dude, in that football game. So
when I tell you it was the most fulfilling 3 minutes of my life, and I've had some bad moments in my life for 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I've had some embarrassing moments, had some thrilling moments. I've had some good moments. Like, I've had a lot of good 3 minute moments. You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget to hump that like.
Hump that like. But no, I'm just joking. But I mean, like, no, it was the best 3 minutes in football history, in my opinion, as a fan. Like, to see the Dolphins, like, literally, and then I know Bills Mafia hates him. I know they hate him. But everybody talks bad about my guy, Smoke. I love Smoke. He's a friend of mine at this point. Like, we actually are friends now. And it is the funniest thing. It's the best thing to watch him lose his entire shit on the timeline. He was punching himself, banging his head on a wall. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? Go check yourself in somewhere.
It was the first person that I looked up once I confirmed the score of the football game. I was like, oh, gotta go to Smoke's timeline. Yep. I didn't like anything. Yep. I didn't post anything. I didn't drag him. I just laughed. I was like, this is funny.
I'm gonna screenshot you what he texted me. I'm not gonna say it because I can't, but I'll text you.
And then his buddy that was filming outside of the door of the room that he was in as he was losing his mind and crying like a little girl. He cries an awful lot for me. Like, he cries a little too much for me. But anyway,
I don't think girls cry that much, but go ahead.
So for me, the Bills went out. If they win this game against the Cowboys, which I feel like they can do. I feel like the Bills can win this football game. It goes back to matchups and all that stuff, and the Bills historically have played pretty well against the Cowboys. Yes, we lost the first Monday night game in whatever it was, 15 years here, the Nick Folk game. I was at that game. But by and large, the Bills seem to play pretty well against them. What is your opinion, and where do you see the hiccup, the bump, the hump in the road?
I don't know. I guess I'm just... I think that the Buffalo Bills can win every single game that's left on the schedule. I do. I think my issue is that I have more, because the sample size of the season is bigger for what we've seen with Ken Dorsey versus Joe Brady. And I know, like, okay, we got three games in a row where Joe Brady is showing that it's a different offense. And I get it. But I think my brain right now, it just has certain things seared into it from seeing it this season. And I just don't have the same enthusiasm and faith that I used to have. So, like, at the moment, I think this Sunday's game will mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
If we go out and we convincingly, I don't need a blowout. Like, I don't need us to win by double digits, or it would be nice. Like, I would love that. Ooh. I don't want to be stressed. But I'm saying, like, I don't need that, but I need a game where even if the Buffalo Bills give up points on defense against one of the best offenses in the league, I need to see that our offense can compete with one of the best NFC teams in the league. Mm-hmm. So if I can see that and I can, then man, I'm gonna tell you what, if the Buffalo Bills win this game Sunday, I'm all in. We win in the Super Bowl. We go undefeated. Mm-hmm. It's happening. Like, that's where I'm at. And because that's where I'm at, let's talk about it right now. So y'all know what time it is. I told y'all to get ready for your Josh Allen stat line predictions and your game prediction. You want to go first on this one, or you with me?
I'll go first this time. So for me, Josh Allen stat line prediction for me in this football game, I haven't spent a ton of time thinking about it. I don't remember where I was last week to this week. I think I was off. I think I was around the 280 range. I think you were at 320, right? Or 305. Mm-hmm. I think we were both around the 300, which Josh was on pace to do that in the first half. And then obviously the whole team fell off in the second half offensively. I think this football game is going to be offense versus offense. I don't expect this to be a low scoring football game. So give me Josh Allen, probably 365, probably another 45 or 50 on the ground. I think it's going to be a very Jets-esque game. I think the Bills are going to need it. So as much as they didn't need to put up the points they put on the Jets, I think they're going to need to put those points up on the Dallas Cowboys. So give me 365, 370, probably two touchdowns. And we always call him for a rushing one because that's what he does.
So my opinion about this changed after Coach McDermott said that Micah Hyde might be going on IR for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that, because at first, before that, I'm like, no, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I'm going to go 24, that's not low scoring, but 24-20. Like, I'm thinking a score like that.
Right, right.
And with Micah going out, it's like, oh no, the Bills are going to have to score because Jordan can't, and I got to be honest, I love him. Y'all know that's my guy. He's losing several steps. I didn't say this earlier in the season. There's certain plays that Jordan normally makes where I feel like he's kind of, and I don't know if it's because of the scheme now. Like, I know they're using him closer to the line of scrimmage.
Yep, yep.
So I don't know what's happening. I got to go back and watch it again, like several games. I just got to see, because I don't want to say it. Like, I love him. I feel bad to say it, but it's a fact, man. Like, he just looks a step slower, maybe a couple behind, steps slower. Yeah. And there's certain plays where I'm used to seeing him like dominate, and as some guy, sometimes he's struggling to stay in the frame. You know what I mean? And when that happens, it's discouraging. And so when you have that and Micah out, and then you're talking about, I just mentioned it, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cook, Tony, like, first of all, this offense is for real. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be one of those games. I think the Buffalo Bills will have to score 35 points to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be like a 35-31, 35-33, something like that. Like a 33-35 score. Buffalo Bills are going to win this because they have to. Josh Allen is the doggone GOAT. And we're going to the playoffs. And it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you what, when we go to Vegas, when I'm in Vegas, I'm going to be wearing a Bills jersey for the game because we're going to be in it. How about that?
All right. I better be sitting next to you. That's all I'm going to say. So
I don't really mean that, though. I didn't. Don't rip this down. Don't use this as a quote. I didn't mean that. I was joking.
So I gave you my stat line. So score prediction, because I think you did both in there. Score prediction for me, I'm probably in the same boat, like 38-35. It's going to be a one-score game. I don't see either team necessarily running away with this football game. If they do, it's because the wheels have come off for the Bills. I think the Bills are the more vulnerable team for all the things you mentioned. But I don't necessarily see the wheels coming off for the Bills. I feel like it's going to be a good football game. It potentially could be home game of the year for us, right? So my dad texted me today, you going to the Cowboys game? I was like, are you high? Like, of course I'm going to the Cowboys game. Like, yes. Why would I not go to that football game?
You know what? Shout out to Dan Freddy. He hit me up this week and he's like, yo, I got a ticket. You need to come. And he sent me like the weather, because everybody knows, like, I'm like, it's cold. I'm never coming.
46 degrees in the daytime.
He sent it. And he was like, we can make it happen, and we could even figure out to where you don't have to be in the cold. We can make this thing happen. And I was like, I was close. But I was close. When I tell you, Joe, like, you almost saw me this weekend. Like, when I say it was this close, it was like closer than it was close. I don't want to. I was about to cross another line.
Yeah,
I gotta stop.
It is Hump Day.
Let's get out of here.
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline, brought to you by Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Super great hanging out with you guys. Appreciate everybody that is tuned in, everybody that's going to listen. Like we said, for me, for Jay Spence the King, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.